Good evening, my friends. Good evening and welcome. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and I'm thrilled that you're here. I'm thrilled that I'm here. It's Friday, February 23rd, 2007, about 1 minute past 11 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone. There's just something about a Friday. I don't know what it is. Nothing special going on this weekend at all. It will just be nice to, do something a little different. I like the change of scenery that a weekend affords. And when I say scenery, I just mean you go around and you do the same thing Monday through Friday, maybe, and then the weekend obviously has a whole new feel to it. I don't know. I have no plans whatsoever. But anyway, I'm excited about the show this evening for a variety of reasons. And you know, what else is new, right? We've got a great guest for you tonight. Lots of wonderful information. Some of it maybe you've heard before. Some of it I guarantee you've never heard before. So all of that having been said, there's lots of news as well. And if we have time, we'll get into it. And I truly enjoyed our open line segment last evening. We may do that tonight as well. So you should probably know the phone number. It's very easy, 1-800-313-9443. Toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. And our frequency on shortwave, welcome aboard, 3.215. And welcome to all of you listening online at www.republicbroadcasting.org, as well as our website, franklyspeakingradio.com. So I was checking out our website today. And for those who don't know, it's not technically my website. It's actually our webmaster, James. It's his site. It's just that he devotes his time and effort into posting information about the show and about our guests and whatnot. So it's interesting. I came across something I didn't really realize was there. It's at the very bottom. Once you click on the button to enter into the site and you scroll down on that main page, all the way at the bottom, you'll see a list of my top 15 movies. That was a segment I did on the air. It wasn't something necessarily I did in print, so he did a lot of work to make that happen. But it's interesting because those are not my top 15 movies as in, like, my most favorite movies, but more along the lines of top 15 movies for you to maybe know about or watch in regards to technology, the dangers of technology, the wonders of technology, whatever the case may be. Those are technology-based movies, the top 15, and clearly some of those will come into play with our discussion this evening with our guests. So maybe you've seen some, maybe you have not. Maybe, because it's a weekend, you can go back and check them out for yourself and say, well, you know, we've got some movies here that I've never seen. Well, head on down to your local video store and see if they're in, see if they're available, because I guarantee you it will, to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, these movies will have an impact on you aside from just the entertainment value. For most people, they just, you know, all the truth just kind of flies right over their head. But for you and for me, these things jump out at us like a giant shining neon arrow. Very exciting. All right, so my guest this evening is going to be joining us right after the break. We'll bring him up. His name is Henry Grant Vandergriff. He's been on the program before. I booked him last time for a one-hour interview, and it was before I had read his book, because the book didn't get there in time for me to read it. So we did it based on our conversations and what I knew about the subject matter. I'm disappointed that I didn't get to read the book before the last interview, because this book is fantastic. And I would encourage all of you to read this book, to pick this book up, and to process some of the information in here, because there are connections made that I had never even conceived of, and it's right here. The book is called The Last Golden Calf, The Microchip Identity. And the author of that book, Henry Vandergriff, will be joining us when we return in about 3 minutes. Folks, please stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio on the way.
Headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Zygon will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Zygon has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio, and I am your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome. All right. Our guest this evening has appeared on Fox News, CBN, CTN, the Miracle Network in Canada, numerous Christian networks, and interviewed on NPR, CRM, Christian Radio Magazine, and talk show airwaves across North America for his insights into microchip implantation. That's what we're going to be talking about this evening. I would encourage you to go to his website. It's www.mobresistance.org. That's MOBRESISTANCE.ORG. And MOB, of course, stands for Mark of the Beast. Please welcome to the program the author of the book, The Last Golden Calf, The Microchip Identity, Henry Vandergriff. Thank you for your time.
Hey, Frank. Thanks for inviting me back on your show. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, you're too kind, sir. As I had mentioned in the opening segment, you know, when we had booked that first interview, I was just so excited to be speaking with someone who had the information that you have that, you know, we booked the show and did the show before the book, you know, had even gotten here. But, you know, I read it again in preparation for the interview here, and boy, what an amazing book this is.
Mm. Well, thanks. I appreciate the compliment there.
Oh, it's absolutely true. You make so many different connections, and obviously one of them would probably tie in with the title, The Last Golden Calf. You make a connection between the golden calf and the microchip. Would you like to discuss that first?
Oh, I'd love to. I've done hundreds of radio interviews, and you know, one of the things that people have questioned me about, you know, because we've named our website Mob Resistance, mm-hmm. The M-O-B standing for Mark of the Beast.
Great website, by the way.
And one of the things that people would challenge me about is they would say, well, look, you know, what's wrong with progress? Why would God himself be against progress?
Mm-hmm.
And I pondered that question, and it really kind of sparked me to write the second book, which was The Last Golden Calf.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, is that ultimately somebody's going to say to you, when they make this microchip implantation for human identity mandatory, they're going to say to you, Frank, you can't buy or sell without this microchip. You can't get milk and bread for your children. You can't get groceries at the grocery store. You can't buy gasoline for your car.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the government is going to say to us, we are your source of sustenance.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought occurred to me, you know, this is the, you know, the reason why God is against this is because God has always said throughout the scriptures, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you,
mm-hmm.
that God is our source of sustenance. And the way I came up with the title of the book was in the Old Testament story in the Bible, when the Israelites backslid away from God, they worshiped a cow. And if you're going to worship a cow, if you're going to backslide from God and make your own God, why would you choose a cow?
Mm-hmm.
And so as I began to research it, and I discovered that ancient cultures, ancient primitive cultures worshipped cows. They mm-hmm. all worshipped cows.
Yeah.
All of the ancient cultures of Mesopotamia worshipped cattle. And when the Israelites were in bondage for 400 years in Egypt in captivity, they saw that the Egyptians worshipped cattle. And the thing about a cow is that the cow is the perfect source of sustenance. From that cow, you get milk, you get cheese, you get meat, you get rawhide for clothing, you get horns for tools and what have you. And it was just your complete source of sustenance.
Mm-hmm.
And so they naturally began to worship the very thing, being an agricultural people. In the land of Goshen, they were cattle farmers, they were sheep herders. They naturally began to worship the very source of sustenance that is what they saw that sustained them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason I titled it The Last Golden Calf is that here we are in America, in God we trust, and yet we're implementing what I would call anti-Christ policies. We're implementing something to basically say, no, we don't trust in God. We mm-hmm. trust in man, and the government's going to become our source of sustenance because they will be the ones that allow us to buy and sell and enter into the economy and be able to get food for our children, mm-hmm. et cetera, and so forth.
You know, and that's such an amazing connection that you've made because it puts the whole argument in a brand new light, at least for me, because I've always looked at the microchip in terms of revelation, in terms of, you know, what it could be, and of course the description of it, it seems to indicate that we're talking about subdermal, which would be a microchip, and certainly the closest thing to it. And then now you've got society in an era when we can do these things, when we can utilize credit cards without actually, you know, because it takes so much effort to actually swipe it through the machine at the checkout line. Now they've got a thing where you can just wave it nearby. What does that save you? A half of a millisecond? But now, you know, it's the further progress towards convenience. So for me, the microchip always seemed to be a perfect example of how this could be implemented. But what you have done is you've explained it in terms of a spiritual connection, in terms of reliance, in terms of worship, in essence. What is worship and what is, you know, faith? And you're right. It's faith in the system. It's faith in technology. It's faith in the powers that be who will be, you know, running this whole thing and implementing this whole thing. And I just think that really expands the rationale and the evidence to point out that the microchip is the mark of the beast.
Well, and thank you. You know, I had a banker read the book, and he saw me one day, and he said, you know, he said, the whole time I went to college and I was in economics classes, he said, no one ever explained to me the history of money.
Mm.
And we take a chapter in that book to explain the very history of money, how money evolved.
Mm-hmm.
And money is man's invention. You know, you always measured, from ancient times, they always measured a man's wealth based on how many cows he owned.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham was considered a wealthy man because he had much livestock.
Mm-hmm.
God himself, to express how wealthy he was, said, He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And so down through the years, and even today, the whole ideology of cattle and its influence about wealth is permeated even in our own society. We use terms like everybody needs a cash cow, or we all want the Wall Street stock market to be bullish, not bearish. A chattel mortgage is a mortgage against a farmer's cows because that represents his wealth. There's tremendous influence in regards to all of that within our own economy right here in America.
Yeah, and of course there's BS. We're all familiar with that. And Holy Cow, which you mentioned the Holy Cow in there. Also, you know, and I'm reading this and I'm thinking, wow, you know, I never really put it all together like that.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. And, you know, so this is what's happening. I mean, it's a form of worship. And, money could be glass beads that you traded with the Indians, or it could be clamshells that they used in Africa. There's any number of monies. But what happens is whatever you choose as your form of money, you have to basically get everybody convinced to trust in it and to use it as a form. And I tell people all the time, you know, I was doing one interview and somebody called in and said, look, the book of Revelations has nothing to do with today. Nothing whatsoever.
Really?
It totally dealt with the 50, 60 years following Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
And they asked me, well,
preterist.
What do you think of that? Well, let me tell you what I do think about that. When in the history of man has man ever bought and sold with anything but cash or barter? It's
excellent
only been
point.
About 120 years ago, Frank, that men even began to use paper money. When they first came out with what they called a continental during the Revolutionary War, it totally flopped, and they said it wasn't worth a continental.
Yeah, it was like the terminology for the time.
Exactly. And so what happened was is they were unable to introduce anything but silver and gold up until the late 1800s, you know, just before the turn of the 19th century, and they began to introduce what they called reserve notes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have one of those old reserve notes, you could take it to the bank and they would give you silver or gold. That's how long we've been using money in the form of silver and gold.
Isn't that
precious
amazing?
Metals.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, once they began to realize that they could convince people to use the paper money, you know, ultimately we began to go to other things, you know, and now we have paper checks, we have plastic that we use as credit cards, and now they're coming out with what they call the blink cards or the contactless cards, which are the microchips embedded in the plastic. But their ultimate goal is to ultimately put that microchip in your under your flesh in order for you to buy and sell.
You're exactly right, and it's just terrifying stuff. You know, another thing, just getting back to the whole money issue, you made an amazing connection that something I'd never heard of before, the word pecuniary and its origins.
Right. It comes from the Latin word pecus, which means cattle or cows.
That's amazing.
So
it's something else. And then also, you know, what you described, you know, you know, how can somebody worship a cow? And then you think back to that graven image, the golden calf being created. And as you describe, you know, it was wood, but it just had gold over top of it. It's in essence, it's a substanceless God in essence. And I think that's such a great analogy for where we are today in the fact that in our society, we do worship gold, we do worship wealth, we do worship money, and we are in the process of shifting and have been for, as you said, decades into this cashless society. And of course, the next evolution of that is that subdermal microchip. And we obviously have a lot to cover tonight, my friend. Please stay with us, folks. We're up to our first break. We'll be back in 3 minutes with our author, Henry Vandergriff. And check out the website, mobresistance.org.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. by doing nothing more than you're doing right now because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest-to-operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. It's a very, very important show that we have here for you, courtesy of the information and the content of this book by our guest, The Last Golden Calf, The Microchip Identity. Please welcome back to the show, author Henry Vandergriff. Thank you again for your time, sir.
Oh, thank you, Frank.
Now, obviously, you've done an incredible amount of information. You've interviewed a lot of people, and you've really taken a great look at the history of the microchip, the evolution of the microchip. Let's talk a little bit about that, about when it started and when you first heard about it, because you've been doing this research for over 30 years, right?
Right, uh-huh. Yeah, I've been following it since the mid-1970s. Of course, the microchip wasn't out by then. But, you know, the fascinating thing to me was that I was sitting in a marketing class in 1973 at Virginia Tech, and they introduced the universal product code, those little black bars on all the products.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, my goodness, you know, there's going to be a mark involved in every financial transaction. So I just began to kind of follow that technology, And I had the opportunity to interview a man named Joseph Woodland for IBM. And Joseph Woodland is the one who invented the universal product code, or the UPC symbol. And in the process of interviewing him, I was thinking, well, you know, And I asked him, I said, what are y'all doing to identify people, or are y'all planning on putting little black bars on people, you know? And he just laughed at me, and in hindsight, it was funny. But he said, well, he said, whereas that's called the Universal Product Code, he said, what you're referring to and what we're developing is called the Universal Personal Identification Code. And I said, okay, well, what is that? And he said, well, he said, we're developing a microchip that will go in under the skin. And he said, on that microchip will be a numeric value. And he said, this numeric value will be drawn from any number of your biometric features. Now, let me explain biometrics. Unique to every man, woman, and child's body is certain features like the iris of your eye. No two are like. Just a snowflake. No two are alike.
Mm-hmm.
Your fingerprints. They've discovered your DNA. They've discovered your brain waves are different. He said your vocal cords. Every man's vocal cords are different. And he said they can take a numeric value of that, engrave it on the microchip. He said then if you were to go in an airport and have your iris scanned and have your microchip scanned, he said, then it's an absolute positive identification of you as an individual. And he said, it's designed to identify every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. Now, the fascinating thing is that I interviewed him in 1992. And, of course, you know, they had been developing these microchips for the cattle industry back in the early 1980s. In the mid-1980s, it had come out for the pet industry. In 1992, he's telling me they're developing it for the human population. And today, Frank, we are seeing in our airports popping up all over the place little kiosks where the government's trying to ask us to sign up for this microchip.
Yeah, it's like the frequent flyer thing. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I've got a brochure right here in my hand. I'm
okay.
Looking at it. I picked it up in Atlanta's airport when I was flying internationally just a couple months ago, and it's called CLEAR. And, you know, they go through the whole thing, you know, give us your biometrics, and, you know, and we're going to issue this little plastic card with a microchip in it. And ultimately, they're going to ask you to put the microchip in your skin. And the idea behind it is that because you've been pre-approved, it'll be a safe traveler's pass. You can go through the airport faster.
Well, exactly. And you know, one of the things that I've noticed, my friend, is that they try to implement these things, whether it's legislation or whatever it may be, some sort of big brother sort of, excuse me, infringement on something. And they couch it in three ways. They do it through security, safety, and convenience.
Right.
And, you know, obviously, when you make airport travel such an inconvenience going through the security checkpoints, you know, somebody that has to travel all the time for business, they'd be very tempted to do something like that.
Right. You know, I don't know how it makes it any safer.
No.
From this standpoint. You know, when the terrorist straps on his suicide bombs, nobody ever met him before.
Yeah.
So what happens is they just convince some guy to... who's got a clean record, you know, that he's going to be a suicide bomber, okay, go ahead and get signed up with this program. That way you get to go right through security with no hassles, but he's a suicide bomber.
That's right. It seems to me that a suicide bomber would be more inclined to sign up for the program than average American citizen.
Yeah. But let's go back to Joseph Woodland for a moment, if you don't mind.
No, not at all. We are coming up on a break here, though, my friend, again, unfortunately. And I would like to give out your website again and let people know. It's www.mobresistance.org. And are your other books available there?
Yes.
Okay. So those would be the following books. That would be the one we're talking about here this evening, The Last Golden Calf, The Microchip Identity, as well as... Mystery Babylon, The Coming Microchip Economy, as well as a devotional called Upward Bound. So all that and more at mobresistance.org. Stay with us, folks. We're back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
Love, come quick. Love, come in a hurry. There are thieves in the temple tonight.
Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and our special guest this evening, Pastor Henry Vandergriff. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, thank you, Frank.
Thank you. And I'm sorry for the interruption there, but you were mentioning Joseph Woodland.
Oh, yeah, Joseph Woodland with IBM.
Yes.
And he's the one in 1992 that just flat out told me this was coming. And everything he said in 1992 has indeed come to pass. We're seeing them setting this sort of thing up in these airports. And one of the things that I'm finding fascinating, Frank, is that they're harvesting biometrics all over the United States and around the world these days. And let me give you an example. I come to a convenience store and I stop to get me a drink, and you know, and they're outside, and it's the KidSafe ID program, and it's being conducted by the Child Protection Education of America. And what they're doing is they're getting parents to sign up and send in their children's biometrics. And I'm scratching my head and I'm saying, well, why? And they're saying, well, you know, to protect your child, you know, in case he's abducted or kidnapped or whatever, we would have their biometrics. How does that help? But it's interesting to me that what's happening at universities, when you go to college, you're now paying with your fingerprints. You know, in schools now, they're harvesting your biometrics. You pay for your cafeteria lunch with your fingerprints. You can go to grocery stores now, and you don't even have to pay cash anymore. They just get you to give them a thumbprint, and you pay with your thumbprints. You see, the system doesn't work. They're trying to implement the system in many places without the biometrics and just giving you the microchip. But they have discovered even the passports that are being issued right now with microchips, they come with a anti-skimming cover because they've found that you can skim the microchip from as far away as 64 feet.
Whoa.
So what happens is, and think about it for a moment, which is harder to do? For somebody to come up and try to steal your wallet out of your pants, or is it easier for him to walk up with a scanner and just get close to the microchip embedded in the plastic credit card in your wallet and just scan the chip and get the information?
Well, 64 feet, that's nothing.
That's right. That's nothing. I mean, the guy could sit on the park bench as people walk by all day long.
Sure.
So the point is that they're harvesting biometrics because they have to have the biometrics to get them to work. And I think it's fascinating when you walk through some of the international airports, you know, they say, and you see all of the posters up, say all foreign visitors have to sign up for this program where they have to give up biometrics now. And but if you're a domestic citizen, you don't have to. However, if I fly into a foreign country, there is the poster saying I've got to give up those biometrics in the near future. And so what's going to happen is the countries are going to share back and forth the biometrics so that they get everybody's information so they can make the system work.
Well, there are partners in the war on terror, and if you're not with us, you're against us, as the president says. So, yeah, they have to, I guess.
I suppose that's what's going on.
Wow.
So it's just – but back to IBM. I haven't finished with that subject. This is so fascinating to me. IBM right now, and they're a big player in this microchip implantation, they are soliciting and petitioning the United Nations for global standardization concerning microchip implanting. In other words, there are several companies out there. They have competitors, and they all have these microchips. And what they want to do is set the standards of how they work and how they communicate with the scanners and the machinery. So it'd be better for IBM to be able to set forth their standards because, well, they can get them to work with their product first and foremost. The interesting thing is that their program is called IAM, and it stands for Identity Access Management.
Wow.
And anybody who's familiar at all with the writings of the scriptures will immediately recognize I am as the name for God.
Yes.
And so to me, it's just utterly fascinating as to how many kind of biblical connections there just seems to be with this whole end time thing.
Sure.
I have a magazine cover, Frank, from Penn State Agriculture. The cover of the magazine says, Managing Your Microchip, Managing Your Cattle Via Microchip. And the article goes on to talk about using microchip implantation to basically herd your cattle. And it shows people how they can use the computer to help them with all of the stuff with herding and cattle raising, et cetera, and so forth. But the fascinating thing is it's dated 1980. So here we are implementing technology for human identification that was originally developed for the cattle industry. Is it any wonder in the book of Revelations that God calls it the mark of the beast?
Yeah,
it
wow.
is utterly fascinating.
That is another connection. That's fantastic. You know, and another, you mentioned about the IAM program. I think it's Applied Digital Solutions is really the main player behind this whole thing, but isn't one of their subsidiaries called Digital Angel?
Yes, it is. There you go.
Another one.
And it's utterly amazing how they interconnect these spiritual terms.
Utterly with a D? Well, you're right. I'm sorry.
And yet, so oftentimes when I'm interviewed about this subject, I've had hosts tell me, listen, we don't want to hear nothing about the Bible.
No, oh, I'm all about
it. We just want to hear about the secular side of it. We just want to hear about the benefits of it.
What makes it so impressive, Henry, is the way it all interconnects.
It is. And, you know, I find, you know, one of the attributes of God himself is that the Bible describes God as being omniscient, that God knows everything. Well, if you think about this technology and what they're wanting to do with it, basically the government is telling us, look, we want to set up a cradle-to-grave database, and that the moment you're born, you get microchipped, and then everything about you as a human being is put on a database, and all we got to do to pull that database up is to scan your microchip.
Sure.
In other words, we know what blood type you have, we know what allergies you have, we know what medical problems you had or procedures you've had, we know where you've worked, where you got educated, we know what your religious background is, we know your financial purchases.
Everything.
Frank, we know who you went out and had dinner with the other night because everybody paid with their microchip and they all paid at the same time. And we know what you ate.
Yeah, that's
true. We know what kind of magazines you buy. We know whether you're buying magazines about guns and explosives. We know if you're reading the Quran, you see. So the government wants to profile you. They want to know everything about your life so that they can determine whether you might be or have criminal intent or be a terrorist.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting on so many levels because, in essence, what you see here is the implementation of some of DARPA's projects. I'm sure you're familiar with DARPA. Total Information Awareness Network, the LifeLog Project, which would do exactly what you're talking about. And these things are seeded into the culture by way of mainstream entertainment. And you mentioned in the book The Demolition Man, which is on my list of top 15 technology-based movies. Virtuosity, they stick a microchip in his head. In order to you know, keep him from getting away, one of the Denzel Washington's character is a prisoner, and they don't want him to escape, but they want him to help them. Anyway, it's immaterial. There's another movie on that list called Final Cut. Have you seen that one?
No, I have not.
This is with Robin Williams, and his job is he's an editor. And what they do is when people die, they take the microchip that's been in their brain their whole life, and he takes their entire life, and he edits it into a movie they can show at the funeral service. So, I mean, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's called predictive programming. I think I've heard the phrase.
Interesting.
Is that they literally can tell you kind of through Hollywood what we're about to happen as a society.
Wow.
So it's utterly fascinating.
It is.
You know, some of the things that are taking place and happening.
Well, sure. And after September 11th, of course, we saw various aspects of the government, various agencies and whatnot, met with Hollywood in order to pick their brains for ideas on how terrorists might attack us and different things like that. And I have no doubt that they also floated their own ideas into Hollywood, maybe even their own screenwriters, to leak these things out. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think this is all very, very important. And I would like to direct people on that note to your website, mobresistance.org. You have a fantastic thing. It's a video section, and on the video section you have Senator Joe Biden, who's Counsel on Foreign Relations, by the way, mentioning to the not quite but future and now today current Chief Justice of the Supreme Court about how he'll be ruling on things like the brain scans to determine if people have criminal intent, like you just mentioned, as well as microchipping programs.
Yeah, and I love that video. It's C-SPAN's video, and you know, whenever we talk about this subject, people think, "Oh, this is Orwellianism. This is all futuristic. It ain't going to happen in my lifetime." Well, Joseph Biden tells you that it is going to happen because how old is John Roberts? He's in his mid 50s.
Oh yeah.
How much longer is he going to live? He's going to live another 30 years, maybe,
at least,
right?
Yeah, sure.
So he's going to have to rule on this. And the way it works, Frank, is that the Senate and the Congress implement laws, and then the Supreme Court decides whether it was constitutional or not. So Joseph Biden says in that video, "Look, we're talking about this up on Capitol Hill, and you're going to have to rule on it." In other words, they're going to do it and then leave it up to the Supreme Court to decide whether that was okay or not.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. And one of the things our listening audience needs to understand is that Joseph Biden is a presidential candidate in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not the only one. There's another presidential candidate on the Republican side named Tommy Thompson. And Tommy Thompson was the former Secretary of Health and Human Resources under President Bush. And in 2005, he implemented in five test market cities in America the microchipping of homeless people. He's now gone on the board of directors with Applied Digital Solutions down in Florida, somebody you mentioned earlier who's a big player in microchip implantation. And he is calling and petitioning Congress now for microchipping the military and doing away with our dog tags.
Mm-hmm.
So as the military goes, so goes the fabric of American society.
If I can jump in here, I think you've got a couple of things that I'd like to comment on. First thing, Tommy Thompson, you're absolutely right. Tommy Thompson made it his mission, and you can read this if you can access his former bio under Health and Human Services Secretary, to provide vaccinations for everyone in the country as well. So there is some indication that these microchips may be small enough for people to get them unknowingly, I should say. And typically, even when they are put into you, they're injected into you, which I think is intriguing as well. And Tommy Thompson is a high-level Freemason, which I think is also intriguing and ties in with a number of other things as well, because the Freemasons are actually doing various projects where they're collecting biometrics on children and encouraging a chipping program as well to prevent kidnapping. Another connection.
Biometric harvesting.
Yeah.
The system doesn't work without the biometrics, which, people often say, well, what can we do? Well, one of the things you can do is just refuse to give your biometrics.
So, there you go.
You know, if you're not a criminal, don't give up your fingerprints. You know, make you a criminal before you give them up, you know. But, another thing about Tommy Thompson is that he's the former governor of Wisconsin. Well, Wisconsin passed legislation to say that businesses could not make it mandatory that their employees get microchipped in association with their job. And they did this in response. In Cincinnati, Ohio, there was a guy named Sean Darks, who was the CEO of a security corporation, and he had his employees get microchipped, and it was another layer of security for them because they were dealing with sensitive government documents. And so, and now several states are starting to move towards legislation. I just communicated with a Senator Crane out of Oklahoma, and he was interviewed by a local TV station concerning microchip implantation, and he said one of my constituents brought this up to me, and he said, to be honest with you, I thought he was a conspiracy nut. And he said, and then I looked into some of the evidence, and I came to the realization, oh my gosh, this guy is on to something. And he said, I'm going to move to put forth legislation to say that employers cannot make it mandatory that employees get microchipped in association with their jobs.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So
good thing.
This stuff is happening, uh-huh. And people think, no, it's future. No, it's happening right now.
Yeah, it really is. And we're seeing it in every single capacity. You know, one of the things that I've noticed, and I suppose, to be honest with you, Henry, I would be called a conspiracy nut as well. And that's not because I'm a nut per se. It's because I see the conspiracy, and it's not theoretical. It's conspiracy factualism at this point, because we're seeing it on every level and every element of society. But, you know, I firmly believe that a lot of the stories that come out concerning certain things are put out there for a reason. Like when you see these horrific, kidnapping stories and whatnot. It's designed to take the public mindset, and they don't call television and all these things, and even radio. I got to include, this in there as well. They don't call it programming for nothing. When you start seeing all these stories, oh, so-and-so kidnapped, then the microchip starts to get entered into it. The microchip has also been suggested and is being implemented, from what I understand, to a certain degree, in illegal immigrants. So we see a lot of stories, oh, the illegals are coming, and President Bush wants a guest worker program, so we have to do something to be able to keep tabs on these people. Why not some microchips? So, the fear on those angles is going to give people a sense of security if they agree to that. But, you know, that ties in with, let's look at the, well, they were called detention camps here in the United States, concentration camps everywhere else. And this is during World War II. They obviously imprisoned Japanese Americans. What people, a lot of people don't realize, they also imprisoned Germans and Italian Americans. Mm-hmm. Okay, a lot of the Americans who maybe weren't from that sort of ethnic background, they all thought that was a good idea, a solid idea. Once you start opening the door for other people to be targeted for something, it makes no difference because it inevitably can come back to bite you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when we start talking about prisoners, child molesters, illegal immigrants, children for their own safety, cars with OnStar, cell phones with GPS chips. I mean, it's at this point, Henry, what would you think the percentage is of all those people? If you include credit cards with chips, phones, people wearing ankle bracelets, prisoners, illegals, as well as child molesters, what do you think? What percentage of the population, just off the top of your head, complete guesstimate, what do you think that would be?
I'm not sure I fully understand the question, but I would think it would be a small percentage.
Well, I mean, with just having cell phones alone, I think that's...
Cell phones. Yeah, yeah. Sure. A huge percentage.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, Hold on a second. My friend. We'll be right back, folks, in 3 minutes.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
You remember.
Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. Tail end of our first hour in the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. This hour is being brought to you, of course, by Howard Creek Resort, featuring 9 fully equipped individual housekeeping cabins and easy access to a multitude of recreational activities as only Arkansas can offer you. Howard Creek Resort is the perfect family vacation spot any time of the year. You can visit them on the web at www.howardcreek.com or call them toll-free at 877-253-7690. Folks, I'd like to welcome back our guest, Henry Vandergriff, the author of the book, The Last Golden Calf, The Microchip Identity. Welcome back, sir, and thank you again for your time.
Oh, thank you, Frank.
I wish we had more time, but I know that it's very late where you are, and I appreciate any of the time that we can get. We've got a lot more material, obviously, to cover that we'll have to do maybe at another time, but there are some things that that we should probably try to get in here at the last few minutes. What do you think is the most important angle of all this? And let me just explain that that comment I was making at the end of the last segment was simply to highlight how many people are okay in general with the idea of able to be tracked. Okay, credit cards, cell phones, you know, all those things.
Yeah, you know, I find that fascinating, Frank. In the aftermath of 9/11, a Pew research firm discovered that 70% of the American people were willing to trade civil liberties for greater national security.
Amazing, isn't it?
It is how easily we're willing to trade those things. And if you go to our website, one of the videos that we have is called RFID Airport. And the fascinating thing about that is that it's a video that's given to the airport to show them how to use the microchip technology. It shows a customer coming in. He's going to fly that day. He gets his microchip scanned. He then turns around, and they give him a microchip to put on his luggage. The luggage gets scanned, and then on the database for his microchip goes what was in his luggage. As the guy works his way through security with his microchip, he finds himself waiting for the airplane, and a government official comes up behind him, and then with his laptop computer from 6 feet away, the guy does not even know he's being scanned. Up comes the database on the flat screen laptop computer, and there's his database about everything about him so that the government official can profile him as to whether he might be a terrorist getting on that plane.
Wow.
The fascinating thing about this, Frank, is that this is not East Germany. This is America. This is not the former Soviet Union. This is not China.
Mm-hmm.
This is America. And yet we are succumbing to this sort of thing. You see, the issue is not about security versus privacy. The real choice is about liberty versus control.
Well said.
And somebody used an illustration. I love this illustration. A bird in a cage is secure,
yep,
but it is not free. And that's what's happening to the great eagle of America. We're so concerned about security these days that we're losing all of our freedoms.
I couldn't agree with you more, my friend. I think it's vital that we understand these things and again, do our best to kind of stay cognizant of all the different ways they can implement this through fear of kidnapping, fear of illegal immigration, fear of prisons overcrowding, and therefore we got to release some, but we don't want to just turn them loose into the world. We got to go ahead and keep tabs on them. And they've already got the ankle bracelets and any number of those things. So we see these things coming to pass. And in a huge leap forward, Henry, was, of course, Walmart. Basically requiring their vendors, if you want your products in our store, you have to have them tracked through RFID technology. We're here in Walmart's hometown. I've got all the documents labeled, top secret, given to me by Walmart insiders, and it's incredible stuff, my friend. But boy, I tell you what, you sure do make an hour pass by quick. God bless you, my friend, and all that you do, and I hope you'll come back and visit with us again very soon.
Love to, Frank. Thank you for the interview.
Thank you very much. Henry Vandergriff, ladies and gentlemen, the book, The Last Golden Calf, The Microchip Identity, a must-read in this day and age. Stay with us. We're back in just a minute.